The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to another session of our program, The Clear Criterion. Inshallah, today we will continue with the famous account of Surah Al-Baqarah, why the Israelites were commanded to sacrifice a cow, a particular cow, to reveal the outcome of an important or serious incident which occurred during their time, the lessons that we learned from this account, the personalities or the people linked to the account itself, and different aspects of religious discussion which are deduced from this account. Inshallah, we will try to cover as much as possible before we look at the account or continue to look at the account we began last in our last session. I want to share with you a point of excellence regarding sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam revealed that once Sayyidina Jibreel came to him alayhi salam and said, Allah has said, O Muhammad, are you not happy that a member of your nation sends salam upon you, sends peace upon you once, and I send peace upon him 10 times? Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. In this particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam revealed how any member of his nation who invokes salam upon him, who expresses peace in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, in return or as a reward, receives salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 10 times. So it is multiplied for him. And in reality, we do not know the exact nature of this salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand the hadith as it was expressed, but salam itself is a word which encompasses many different meanings. Salam can mean peace, it can mean protection, it can mean a greeting or salutation. Which aspect or these aspects and more included in the salam mentioned in the hadith, Allah and His Messenger Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam know best. But for us, the encouragement is we perform an action in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us tenfold in return or as a reward of that particular action. So if this is not encouragement for us, that we are sending our expression of peace to the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, as befits His majesty, sends peace down on the faithful, on the believer who does this or expresses this beautiful action. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to receive salam from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again. And may this may the bestowal of blessings and peace upon us be our protection, our success in this world and also in the hereafter. Moving on to the main part of our session today, just to recap from our last session, Prophet Musa alayhi salam revealed to his nation, he revealed to the Israelites after they requested that he supplicates in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding clarification about a matter in which a man was murdered, a man was killed, the killer is the culprit is not found. One of the close family members or next of kin is demanding blood money as well as the transfer of inheritance. So all this was going on. They referred to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa alayhi salam prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the instruction was initially and originally that they are to sacrifice a cow, and a part of that cow would be used to strike the deceased, and miraculously the deceased would come back to life and reveal the truth of the matter, and thus justice would be established thereafter. But the Israelites initially, they were in a state of what seemed to be denial, and they questioned Prophet Musa alayhi salam about the whole idea of this happening. You know, what relevance is there? How can you attribute this account to a dead cow, to a cow being slaughtered, and how can a cow being slaughtered be related to the truth being revealed about this murder? So they, in their minds, were commenting on this whole, on the unusual, in their eyes, unusual nature, in their opinion, unconventional nature of what they had been commanded. But as far as Musa alayhi salam was concerned, it was they had requested him. Musa alayhi salam was given a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if they had followed that command the way they were originally told, it would have been a lot easier for them. But after some questions, they began to seek specified information or more specific information. Prophet Musa alayhi salam mentioned the age, mentioned the color, and the quality of the cow itself. In the end, it became a very specific cow, and only one such cow was found in that locality. Now, before we continue with how they attained that cow, and did they succeed in actually revealing the finding the culprit of the man who was killed, another story which is kind of intertwined and linked to this story or this situation of the Israelites, pious man who possessed a calf, once he gave or let his calf go into the wild in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this supplication or the hope that, oh Allah, I leave it in your protection. And when my son, my only son who is young, when he comes of age, he is able to take this trust back and benefit from it. In time, or after some time, this pious man passed away. He left behind a pious, virtuous wife and also a son. This son grew up, came of age, and then he was instructed by his mother, go to such and such part of the wild, in the wilderness or in the jungle, and there is a cow which your father had left in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a calf when he had left it, and now it's probably most likely a fully grown cow. And this is the description. Call to it with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and retrieve it from that area. And then you can go and sell it in the marketplace. All this being linked to piety, a pious man leaving his possession to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no greater protection than the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we leave our homes, one of the supplications that we read, Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah, the name of Allah, and I place my trust in Allah, because we leave our family behind, our possessions behind. So we're leaving with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we place our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the teaching of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. We neither have the power to do good or the power to refrain from evil except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful reminders. It's such a beautiful expression of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and submission to the fact that He is the best protector. There is no greater protector than Him. Coming back to the story, the young man retrieves the cow. It's a fully grown yellow cow, and it comes to, he takes it to his mother, who instructs him to take it to the market and sell it at 3 gold coins or 3 dinar, which was the market price of such an animal in that era. following his mother's instruction, one thing she added to the instruction was that do not conclude the deal without seeking permission from me. So the initial discussions and the initial answering initial inquiries with potential buyers, all that can be done, but the sale is not to be concluded without my permission. So he goes, this young man, he goes to the marketplace, follows the instructions of his mother. He comes across a buyer who says that, I'll buy this cow from you, but I will give you 6 dinar. I'll give you 6 gold coins on the condition that you do not seek permission from your mother, that you don't go and consult with her, because this was something which he might have expressed in the initial part of the conversation regarding the selling of the cow that he possessed. So the young man, he declined. He said, I can't sell, or I can't conclude this deal without speaking to my mother or seeking permission from her first. So he leaves and he returns and he tells his mother about this whole story, about meeting someone who wanted to pay 6 dinars or 6 gold coins. And does he have permission to conclude the deal with 6? The mother gives permission to the young man to proceed with the deal or to proceed with selling the cow for 6 gold coins. So he returns to the marketplace. Again, he sees the same, or he meets the same buyer. This time the buyer says, take 12 dinar from me. Take 12 gold coins from me, but sell it to me without consulting or seeking permission from your mother. This seemed strange that he had doubled the amount that he was willing to offer. But again, he was it seemed as if he was testing the young man. He was saying to the young man, as long as you don't ask your mother. Again, being obedient to his honorable mother, the young man returned and told her the story. She was a woman of taqwa, a woman of piety and insight. She thought about this situation and said to him, it seems as if this might be an angel sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test you. So go to him and ask him, should we sell this cow now or sell this cow at a later stage, or what is the best course of action? The young man returns to the marketplace, meets this buyer or potential buyer, who in reality was an angel in disguise, and the angel reveals, do not sell this cow now, wait for a while, the Israelites will come to you, or some Israelites will come to you seeking to buy this cow, and the price that you set for them should be gold filled, its leather, the skin of this cow, filled with gold. That should be the price, or that should be what they have to pay you in return. And as time passed and the account of Amil took place, Amil was the man from the Israelite, or the man among the Israelites was killed, murdered. Israelites were told about the particular cow that they had to sacrifice, which happened to be the very same cow possessed by this household, possessed by this young man. He agreed with the Israelites for the price of the leather, the skin of the cow being full of gold as a price of the cow. And the cow was given to the Israelites. And the Israelites were able to proceed and move towards fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some points to consider here, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses a command, it should be followed without question. By trying to find a personal logical explanation for everything, we can put ourselves in a situation of difficulty. Not everything is logical in Islam, meaning not everything follows what we understand to be logical. For example, if we just take the example of zakat. Zakat is giving money from our wealth to others. Now, logically, if we look at what is beneficial for us, the mind would say, if we keep money or amass money, the more we amass, the more we collect, the better and stronger our position is. And logically, it makes sense that if you give away some of your wealth, you will have less. But here, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that when you have a certain portion of wealth and a certain period of time passes over that wealth, then a part of that must be given to the eligible people among the poor or the needy or whoever is eligible. And this is because of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The logical thing would have been that you hold on to your wealth. Not everything follows a logic that is beneficial, personally beneficial to human beings. Religion is based upon narration, instruction, revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately, whether it is revelation in the form of Quran or revelation in the form of the teaching or understanding of that through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is very important to understand. Another point to keep in mind, the Jews of that time, the Israelites, they questioned Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And they said, are you joking? Are you mocking us by telling us that we have to sacrifice a cow and then strike the dead body with a part of the cow? What kind of instruction is this? And he, alayhi salam, he said, Allah protect me from being among the ignorant. I don't have this quality of being ignorant. I am not someone who would do something like this or behave in this manner. So the prophets, alayhi salam, have the best character, a character which is free of fault, a character which is free of such aspects of behavior that are frowned upon. A third point to consider, that arguing about the ahkam or rulings of Sharia is often leads to more complications or more difficulties. If the Israelites had simply followed the instruction of finding a cow and slaughtering it, they wouldn't have paid a very expensive price for a particular cow if they had just followed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the believers not to question excessively, because this destroyed the people of the past. Some people have this habit. They question for the sake of questioning. I mean, it's not even to clarify something. It's not even to understand something better. Why is this? Why is this? Why is that? Why is this? So just because they have a habit, not because they want to learn or understand the usul, usually it's enough for a believer to say, when you say to them, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's clearly mentioned in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a specific hadith, it's his order and command, this has to be done. Khalas, finished. No more discussion needed, because as a follower of the religion, when we are told this is a command of the religion, we follow it. But some people have this habit, what if this, what if that, and their speculation sees no end. They just create a very difficult situation for themselves. They actually stress themselves out. And they are affected by the whispers of their nafs or the devil. They find it very easy, very difficult to focus in their prayer or in their everyday matters. They increase their anxiety, anxious about everything. It does not help. The religion is clear. Following the religion is easy enough for the believers, because Allah does not burden a soul beyond what it can bear. So keep this in mind. A fourth point which is mentioned by the Mufassirun is that saying insha'Allah has great barakah. The Israelites said, "Wa inna insha'Allahu la muhtadun." If they had not said this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if they had not said this, they would not have found the cow. The fact that they had said, if Allah wills or with the will of Allah, their deed or their matter was resolved ultimately. So for the believer, we wholeheartedly believe in the blessing of saying insha'Allah for all good and permissible matters. And a fifth point to discuss or to mention here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of protectors. That which is left in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is something which will have blessing in it. And with Allah's mercy and Allah's grace, any matter that we leave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can hope for success in it. And finally, in terms of discussion, points of discussion, obeying parents. The obedience of parents is something which leads to such blessings. In this case, an obedient son was blessed with wealth because he followed the instructions of his noble mother. Generally speaking, obeying parents is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. He rewards those who are obedient in this world, and also with His mercy He will reward them in the hereafter. And this obedience is a means of success for those who observe it. Just to conclude the account through the verses, we'll mention the remaining verses about the account itself and then conclude the account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَتَلْتُمْ نَفْسًا فَادَّارَأْتُمْ فِيهَا وَاللَّهُ مُخْرِجٌ مَّا كُنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and remember when you killed a man, then you resorted to dispute between yourselves whilst Allah was to bring forth what you were concealing. فَقُلَّ ضَرِبُوهُ بِبَعْدِهَا كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So we said, strike the dead man with a part of the cow. Thus Allah will resurrect the dead and He shows you His signs so that you may understand. When the Israelites finally had the cow which was described to them, and they followed the instruction given to them by Prophet Musa alayhi salam, they took a part of its, after slaughtering it, they took a part of it and struck the deceased. Miraculously, the dead body or the deceased came back to life. And as he came back to life, the Mufassirun described that some blood was flowing from his throat. And he declared the truth of the matter. He said that he had been murdered by his uncle's son, his cousin. And after revealing this, he died again, or the signs of life faded from him. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam established justice against the culprit. Qisas was specified through this miraculous occurrence, reminded the Israelites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who made this dead body come back to life for long enough for it to reveal, for the man to reveal the murderer or his killer, the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can resurrect all those who have departed from this world. This account was a reminder of the fundamental belief of the faithful that after death, there will be a resurrection. Those who have left this world will rise on the day of judgment and will have to give an account of their lives. And this mention in the Quran is also a reminder for all those who continue to read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that just as this moment was shown to the Israelites, we should believe and wholeheartedly accept that after our deaths, there is a waiting period until the day of judgment. When the day of judgment will occur, we shall rise, the resurrection will take place, and we shall have to give an account of our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to do this. He is the all-powerful. And such an account and the lessons learned from such an account are matters which strengthen our faith, are matters which give us the important reminders when we are wavering in heedlessness, the routine-oriented nature of life, where there's very little reflection sometimes. Everything becomes materialistic. I'm doing things for things that I can attain and touch, see and smell, not having that reflection about the unseen matters, about the soul itself, about what will make the soul better, or what will give the soul comfort, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we can become lost in this whole lifestyle of heedlessness. And this is why the Quran, these stories of the Quran, these reminders of the Quran are very important for us. The following verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَةً. Your hearts became hard thereafter, so they are like rocks, rather even harder. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And among rocks there are some from which streams gush out. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَ لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. And from them are some which let out water when they split open. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And of them are some which fall in fear of Allah. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is never unaware of your deeds. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one tafsir of this verse is that the Prophet, Jewish community, or some of the Jews in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are being addressed that you should seek, you should learn a lesson from the actions of your predecessors or the actions of your forefathers, and your heart should not become hard after the truth is revealed. This example, or these examples of rocks given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are reminders that even rocks, as hard as they are, they take in, or they show the signs of being affected by something. They can break, they can split and let out water. But those who deny the truth after it has been revealed to them and after they have come to know of it, their hearts are even harder than rocks. For even rocks have points where they split, where water gushes from them. But a heart which does not accept the truth after the truth is clear is a heart that is a lot harder than any of these rocks. And this example was there to show or remind the Jews of that era. Another tafsir is that this reference, it was to the Israelites in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, that they should accept the truth after seeing what they saw in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. We will inshallah maybe say a few more words about this particular point in our next session. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to be soft-hearted, to follow the commands of the Sharia, and to succeed in both worlds. Ameen bi jahin nabil. Ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu alal Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.